Welcome to today's New Life Live podcast. Today's podcast is brought to you by you. Your donations make this podcast possible. Please consider donating today using the New Life app, visit newlife.com, or call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Welcome to New Life Live with host and founder of New Life Ministries, Stephen Arterburn. New Life Live is dedicated to transforming lives one at a time, thanks to the giving hearts of you, our listeners. Our goal is to provide you with wisdom from God's Word to give you hope and help in life's hardest places. If you have a question you'd like to ask today, our phone lines are open. Call 1-800-229-3000. That number again is 1-800-229-3000. Now here's Steve.
It is me, and glad to be with you. And joining me, I'm also glad to be with them, Dr. Jill Hubbard and Becky Brown, and happy Friday to everybody.
Yes.
Happy Friday.
Hello, guys.
Yeah.
Girls. And, hi, Jill. Hi, Steve.
Hi, Becky.
Pray for me because this is a tape program. I had surgery on my knee this morning.
Oh.
Not today.
How's it feeling?
I will have when, well, I don't know yet. But I know this, it's not feeling good today. So have that work done, and that'll be good. But I'd appreciate your prayers. And I want to talk to you about something that I think is literally, this is the COVID of our souls, and it's called shame. And I want to talk about shame a little bit, but I don't want to just talk about it. I've got something for you. If you would like some insight into the shame, maybe you have some residual shame, or you're one of your kids or friends, and you want to know how to help them, I've got 10 tips to shame-free living. And you know, here's something. Anything that focuses on a person instead of a behavior can bring shame. And a lot of times we do things, and rather than know that everybody's failing or trying to change what we did, we just feel shameful as a human being versus think, that was not a very good thing for me to do. Becky, Jill, your thoughts on shame also.
Well, you know, I didn't realize how much shame was working in my life for many years. And I was having reactivity and anxiety, and I didn't realize that it was associated with shame. And the shame messages that I had were, I wasn't enough, I wasn't smart enough, couldn't do enough. And it was so strange to recognize, oh my gosh, where did that come from? And I think you've heard me say before, one of my favorite acrostics with shame is, should have already mastered everything.
I love that, Becky.
And I just think if we can recognize where the shame is residing in our own life, it can help us get out of it and get to that shame-free life.
Right, because when we don't look at that, we do things to protect ourselves. And actually, shame becomes a type of protectant. It makes us small, and it causes us to withdraw so that hopefully people won't see our weaknesses or won't hurt us further.
Now, Becky, when I hear you say that you feel like not good enough and not competent enough, don't measure up, I think you may be more neurotic than having shame, because you are...
I know, seriously.
You're one of the most competent people I've ever met. You've got more talent and skills and gifts than... So I really...
That's
I think
very
maybe,
kind.
But see, it doesn't... The internal dialogue doesn't match,
Thanks
right?
For that.
No, that's right.
Well,
that
thing
is the dilemma.
Shame. That is the dilemma.
Right. Well, and Milan Jurkovic actually helped me process where that was coming from without even knowing it. You know, he talks about how he was a pleaser, and that the pleaser in him couldn't be happy unless everyone around him was happy. Now, if you transfer that to shame, if I know enough, everyone around me is going to see me as knowledgeable. That's not always true. You can't, you know, you can't produce that. So I had to recognize my shame internal messages were based on lies. It wasn't based on truth, and I really had to work that out. But I want that for everyone else. I want them to hear the truth about themselves and be free of that shame.
1-800-NEW-LIFE. We'll give you these 10 tips right here. We also, we've got workshops that get rid of the shame. the shame that's keeping you from living into the life God has called you to live. We've got that for you. And I'll tell you, there is no reason anybody has to be living in shame. Jesus died so you wouldn't have to. We'll be back right after this.
To find out more information about New Life or to order any of the resources mentioned on today's program, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Now back to New Life Live.
We are back. Dr. Jill Hubbard, Becky Brown. Jill's great book, really great book, Forgiving Our Fathers and Mothers, might ought to be a required text of everybody that's ever had a father or a mother, because there's so many things we can get hung up on. But right now, I'm going to go to Michelle, and she lives in Fredericksburg, Virginia, and listens to that amazing, amazing station, WAVA. So let's go to her. And Michelle, how are you doing today? What's going on in your life?
Good, thank you. I have a pretty good life, but I had a previous marriage of 9 years to a wonderful man, and he died tragically, actually. It was very unexpected, but there was one thing in our marriage that we struggled with, and that was his addiction to pornography. And now going into my future relationships, I'm very apprehensive because of that. It was known in my marriage, whereas with the new relationship, it's unknown.
Yeah. So what's the question for us then?
How do I approach future relationships without carrying that, I don't know, like, I feel like I'm making my new partner an object of my, I don't know what the right words, I feel like I'm just looking for that to be a possible issue.
Well, let me share this with you.
Because I don't know, and I'm able to trust right away with that.
Well, I'm really glad you called, because I think other places that you would call might say, well, now we can't put what we've been through onto every man that we date. And if you'll heal from him who you were married to, then you'll be free from trying to put this on to another person. But that's not what I'm going to say. And then we'll hear what Becky and Jill say. But here's what I think. I think you're fortunate that you're worried about this, because the reason it's called Every Man's Battle is because every man has to make a decision about this. And I would encourage you, in maybe the second date you have with somebody, if you have a second date, you would say, so tell me about your use of pornography. It's always something I'm curious about. And the person would maybe say, oh, what? You like what kind I look at or what? And then you say, excuse me, I have to make a phone call to call a cab because we're done. But really, here's what you're going
to
hear.
I'm just trying to picture this on a date.
You're going
to
hear from him. No,
I think every
woman needs to ask every man she dates, so
yes, but
tell me
date?
About your use of pornography. He's either going to say, oh, my goodness, I used to have the worst struggle ever. I got introduced to this at age 11, but fortunately, I did this or I did that, and I haven't used since then. That's what you'd want to hear. Or you'd want to hear, I don't know what it is, but I've been protected from that, and I've never used pornography. But if he says something other than those things, then, you know, you really have to imagine he's like a lot of men, and there is a problem there. So don't, here's the thing, don't overcorrect and then just assume somebody doesn't have the problem because you don't want to put the problem on to other people just because of your ex-husband.
Yeah.
Well,
Jill, what do you think?
I think you can come up with your own version of what Steve just said.
Jill doesn't like my version.
Jill is very uncomfortable with your version.
I am, but that's more about me, probably.
Yeah.
I know a lot of people that do that, though.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Okay. Yeah. Well, and I think that it does have to come out. And Michelle, you have a perfect segue that in the course of getting to know someone, you can say, you know, I had a great marriage, but porn was really an issue, and that was an area of hurt. And so I'm very aware that men struggle with this universally to one degree or another. And so forgive me for being forward, but, you know, if we were to continue, I would want to know about how that plays a role in your life.
Becky, well, what are your thoughts here?
Go ahead, Michelle. Go ahead.
No, both of those suggestions are wonderful and very easy for me to do. I'm a very confrontational person,
Perfect. So
bringing it up early on actually suits me well.
Okay. Steve,
yeah, see,
you were right on, Steve.
I sensed that about you.
I stand corrected.
But anyway.
Well, Michelle, what I was going to ask you is when you, in your previous marriage, when you confronted your husband on this, what was the kind of cycle that you guys were in? If he struggled with it throughout the marriage?
In the beginning, he was very objectional to it. He did not want to admit that he had a problem, and then it started to, he started to recognize how it was affecting our marriage, and he was trying to work on it, but he did not want to bring it to someone else's attention, like I've been getting help, that he was trying to handle it himself, and that was really hard. And it wasn't really a problem until the last maybe year and a half of our relationship before he died, so we didn't get quite far enough to really work on it.
Well, why didn't you ask him to get help for it? Just curious.
Oh, I did. I did ask him to get help, and he agreed that he needed to make some changes and that it wasn't healthy for us. And he wanted to try and do it on his own because he's very private and did not feel comfortable talking to someone. I said, okay, well, if I see the results, then if I'm happy with the results of you doing it on your own, great. But if you don't have any results, then...
Right. Michelle, the thing about porn use is it's an isolation activity or behavior. And so there is no one that can do it on their own. It doesn't work that way. Because the problem is that he was kind of being isolated. But here's where I wanted to go with that. It's so terrible that you have already lost a husband. You're young, and now you're looking into new relationships. And what I would want for you as you're going forward, I would want you to have the good support for, you know, whether it's your grief process, but also what happened to you as a result of your previous husband's porn use, because it does impact you as a woman. And the struggle in that, and it's interesting, you know, it was a great marriage, but this was the thing that we had to deal with the whole entire time. So I want you to be able to get clear enough, and I don't know if you're already in a relationship, but I would encourage you to do as much work. You are in a relationship now?
No.
Okay. All right. Well, it's just good to do the homework before you get into it, you know, so that you can present yourself like I know what I want and I know what I'm going to accept and not accept. Mm-hmm. And I'm going to be able to have someone in my life that honors that and can share life with me. And I think that there's great possibility.
But there is risk involved, Michelle. I mean, you do have to step out and you have to meet people, right? And then you have these conversations. When you say you don't trust guys, of course, right? Because of what you've been through. So it's not a blind process. And that's the thing. No. You get to make decisions along the way.
Okay. Now, I'm going to send you worthy of her trust because that's something that... you might want somebody to get serious about to read. But I have one question for you. Do you wish that you had not listened to him and demanded that he get help so he could be free of it? Do you wish that or not?
I think if he was still alive, yes. But he died before it got to that point, I guess.
What point was that? what point did it need to get to before you would have said, you have to go get some help for this?
To the point where I didn't see results from him trying on his own, I guess.
Uh-huh. And what results did you see from him?
He had stopped watching porn for probably 6 months before he died.
Okay.
And it did. It had helped us a lot in our relationship.
Good. So. That's great. Good. Because that's not the normal thing. Becky?
That's great, Michelle. Steve, what I want you to tell her is what she should hear from a man when she says, what is your experience or your use of porn been like? What are some good answers so that, because I think sometimes what happens in situations like this, the man might say, oh, I've never looked at porn ever in my life. I would never do that. And maybe that's not true. But what would be some healthy answers that she might expect from somebody, you know, that she might be dating?
Well, like I said, the guy might say, I had a big problem with this, and then I realized that, got some help for it, and it's not a problem for me. I'm really glad I got help. Or might say, you know, I go to a group every week, and because this was a big part of my life, and I'm going to a group now every week to be sure it doesn't ever become a part of my life. But if the person just waffles and doesn't have a good answer for that, then you have to assume you're going to be attracted to somebody who had exactly the same problem that your husband did, and you just don't want to do that. So, yeah, those are some responses, some good, some not so good. I'll send you Worthy of Her Trust, and here's what else I'll send. I'll send the new revised edition of Every Man's Battle, so that when you finally meet that guy that you want to be with, you say, here, read this. it's gonna help you, or you're going to say, I know everything, I've done everything, that kind of thing. And I'm really glad that you called 1-800-NEW-LIFE if anybody needs those books or you need some help. Let's go over here to, how about we talk with Mark from Tacoma, Washington. Hey, Mark, how you doing there, buddy?
I'm doing good, sir. Thank you for taking my call.
How could we help you?
Well, your last show, there was a segment where the man talked about losing salvation. And so I've been married for 35 years, coming up, 35 years. We've both been Christians since August 5th, 91. And something that the Holy Spirit brought up to my attention that happened 50 years ago impacted me in a way that going through struggles in my marriage, I was like, wait a minute, this is part of the struggle. So what happened
was... What was that? What happened all those years ago?
I think I was 8 years old at the time, and I was at my grandma's house, but my aunt chose at that time to expose herself to me.
Oh, wow. Well.
Mm-hmm. And
at age 8.
And yeah, I think so. And then, this came up 50 years later as my wife and I were trying to get back to what marriage is supposed to be, a godly marriage. And so I realized that the Spirit was showing me that, through all these years that, maybe I was objectifying women.
Mm-hmm.
And so that put a burden on the intimacy of the marriage. And right now, I decided to go to Celebrate Recovery. And I thought it was just for alcoholics and drug addicts, but it's for everybody with hurts, habits, or hang-ups, found out. So the Spirit showed me that the reason why my intimacy in my marriage was not how how God designed it was because all those years I had objectified women and basically.
So what's the question for us? You hear the music, got to go to a break. What? How could we help you?
Yeah. The question is it's never too late to work out the intimacy that God decided it should be in your marriage, you know?
Yeah. I'm going to answer that. Is it ever too late? A lot of people think it's too late for a lot of things, or they've gone too far, sinned too much, or that maybe they're just so small in the eyes of the Lord, doesn't make any difference what they do. A lot of things like that. We'll talk about it, give you some help right after this. You're listening to New Life Live.
We'd love to hear from you. If you have a question or a comment, call toll-free 1-800-229-3000. Now back to New Life Live.
We're back. We're talking with Mark, and exposure by an aunt, he says, maybe led to objectifying women. Mark, I want to just say one thing. If it hadn't been your aunt exposing herself to you, which is very, very so sad for an 8-year-old to experience that, but there would be a good chance that you would objectify women for some other reason, because so many men objectify women because they get into pornography, and that's what pornography does. Or they were trained to objectify women, and then they get into pornography because that is the way you can really objectify a woman. So what has this thing led you to as you have objectified women? Have you had affairs? Are you into pornography? Where has this become a problem?
No, I'm not into pornography, and early on during our marriage, we both had affairs, I believe. But we've got so much counseling and work through that, and I think the Lord is just fine-tuning me, because he's bringing things up from the past that I need to deal with, such as when a grown-up Catholic, when a priest took me in his office and told me that God doesn't want you. Not really, kind of, as a 10-year-old kid, I was stunned.
Why do you think he would say that to you? A priest, why do you think a priest would say God doesn't want you?
Because I was 10 years old and going through their confirmation service. I don't know, whatever they call them. But maybe I was not behaving as such at that time, but I didn't feel like I deserved that comment, in which it really destroyed my confidence, along with things that happened to me as a child, and maybe my uncle at one time trying to molest me. But
let me ask you a question. Let me ask you a quick question. Do you know how many really great men of God would say to somebody that God doesn't want you? Do you know how many, what percentage would say that?
I would say 0%.
Exactly.
That's how
exactly.
It's horrible.
And I don't know what his motive was. I don't know what his motive was for that. I can imagine what it was. So
I don't have the intimacy with my wife that she deserves, that God designed for us. Okay. So we're working on that together.
All right. So we do intimacy in marriage. And I don't like us just to tell somebody to go to that when they call a radio program. But but I think that is something that you need to go to. It's
absolutely
the best thing you could go to. Least
I'm a
amount of time.
Caller, and I never listened to your show real quick. Okay. I never listened to your show, but I just turned the radio on, and this came up. I'm like, oh, no, Lord, I got to talk to him.
So you think it's a coincidence?
It's
coincidence, or you think it's God really wanting you and wanting you closer to him? Yeah, okay. So
it's always God designed, period.
Yeah. Well, here's the other thing. I really think that in the meantime, before you get to intimacy in marriage, there are some other things that you guys can do. Are you in any kind of marriage counseling?
Yeah, we've been to...
No, not are you so in? Much. Are you in any kind of marriage counseling?
Oh, not now, but we have been many times in the past. Both of us now are in Celebrate Recovery.
Okay.
Go ahead, Becky. Can I say something?
Yes, just take her
right
away.
So here's the thing. So here's the thing, Mark. You said that you and your wife are really working on this, but the hard part is it's the two of you without outside help is just going to do more of the same. And, of course, I agree with Steve that the Intimacy of Marriage Workshop is, you know, a must for the two of you guys to get to Dallas. We're going to be there in October. But, you know, as you guys unwrap some of the stuff that you have been through, you get to have the new marriage. It's not too late. And you, mm-hmm. you can have an incredible, right. intimate connection with each other, especially as part of your faith journey as well. You know, and I just think that there's so much hope for you and healing as well. But, I just think it's amazing that you just happened to tune in today.
Yeah, it's wonderful, Mark. And just a reminder that all of us are broken when it comes to intimacy, okay, mm-hmm. in various degrees. None of us has the ultimate intimacy we would want. And so it's a lifelong process of growing, right? Growing closer to the Lord and growing closer to your mate and allowing God to really work in your lives. So every day, so of course it's not too late, right? Because we're all growing in that way. So doing the things to work on it daily and lifting your marriage up before the Lord. I think perhaps reading How We Love Together would be a good primer for before you go to the workshop.
It would be. I'll send it to you. And I just want you to take advantage of what God has done here. He's not just connected you to a radio program, but to a ministry that we love transforming lives, or God using us to transform lives, transform marriages. And it's just incredible to see people that... What's that?
Our Father has unlimited resources.
Yeah.
God is...
But you have to do something about the resources God gives you. And when you just try harder at something... It seems to make trying harder, but doesn't produce anything different. It's when we surrender all the things we've done and say, okay, God, let's try something new. That's when I think He takes that limitation that you have, that extreme limitation, and blesses it with your desire to get better. We'll be back.
I was really living a very anxiety-filled life. I turned on New Life, and the topic that day was about anxiety. And just by listening, I got relief.
You can help New Life stay on the air by joining Club New Life today. When you sign up to support us monthly through Club New Life, we'll send you the new member thank you gift of the Life Recovery Bible Personal Size, the one-year Life Recovery Prayer Devotional, the New Life Journal, a New Life Pen and Highlighter, and a New Life Zippered Tote to hold it all. Plus, there are ongoing benefits like access to the Club New Life video library, the monthly Club New Life CD or download, quarterly resources, free shipping on purchased resources, and discounts on workshops. Call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. That's 1-800-639-5433. Support Club New Life, and together we can help hurting people find help and hope in life's hardest places. Call 1-800-639-5433 to join Club New Life today.
Glad you joined us for New Life Live. To be a part of the program, call 1-800-229-3000. Now back to New Life Live.
Well, we're back. Steve Arterburn here with Wayne Olson is in the studio. Wayne is our brand new Chief Development Officer. Wayne, you're out in California. You and Dave, President, you're talking to people that support us with Larry and... tell us about you, just for a second here, your family. Tell us about your family.
Sure, Steve. I've been with New Life for 2 months now, and I have a wife, Heather, and two sons. One works for NASA in the space industry, and my other is a senior in college this year.
And I understand that the one that works for NASA can't really tell you everything he does. Is that right?
That's actually true. He can only tell me some of the things he does, yes.
I think that is so cool.
It is cool.
I could not work for NASA because I could not keep
you
the secret.
Yeah, exactly.
So, no. I'd be using it on radio all the time. Hey,
that's
well,
right.
Here's what we're doing here. The brand new secret rocket's going to be going on. Okay, so you have been helping people decide what to do in their giving. How long have you been doing that, Wayne?
I've been working in the fundraising world for about 23 years now.
And you've written, how many books have you written about it? Because you really know, you know stuff, Wayne. I know you know stuff.
I've written 6 books, Steve.
Awesome.
But
about fundraising?
Yeah. Here's the secret, though. None of them have any words past about page 33, because that's about how long it takes for people to fall asleep when they're reading.
Yeah, I was going to say riveting.
No, no.
So there's a lot of blank pages at the back of the book.
And you also speak. You're asked, you said today, you went out and you speak at different conventions or meetings of people that raise money. When you think about people who have resources and they want to give back, what's the most important or one of the most important things that you see that needs to be part of that thinking in the giving process?
You know, Steve, they have one thing in common, no matter who it is, no matter how much wealth they have. They want to know that every one of their dollars is going to make a difference.
Yeah, right.
That they're giving to something worthwhile.
And I sure hope that since you've been here, you've seen that we care about every one of those dollars.
We do. We're a very frugal organization. We take care of the money well. And it's interesting to hear the stories of people who both give to New Life and who receive blessings from New Life. It's, just great stories on every side.
And so what have you noticed about New Life that maybe in other organizations you've worked with that you haven't seen? And I'm expecting you to say good things. I'm not expecting you to say, well, the founder seems to have lost touch with reality. I'm not looking for that. But yeah, what have you noticed?
Well, I was supposed to talk about the founder losing touch with reality. But
no, dear. There you go.
No. You know, Steve, the one thing that I've noticed and that you live so well is that this organization is something that our supporters and the people who are part of the family live it. I've met with a lot of donors over the last couple of days face-to-face, and New Life isn't something they listen to. It's not something they give to occasionally when they feel like giving money to a ministry. It's something that moves their heart, and it's something that they attribute their marriage, their success, everything to.
I love that, and I think it really is obvious. And of course, you know, one of my favorite things this Christmas, I'm thinking Christmas because I always do the Christmas card, so I've been working on that, but I'm thinking Christmas, we get these Christmas cards and here's the whole family together, and then the message is we're together because we went to intimacy in marriage, or we're together because every man's battle or restore. And I love that. So what would you want to say before we close out this part? Do you have a story you want to share with us, Wayne?
I'll share one story with you, Steve, that I think speaks volumes. And it's a letter that I received, or we received, but I'm privileged to get all of our mail. It says, Dear New Life counselors, speakers, and guests, thank you for your time, your explanations, your questions, and courage to speak directly and honestly, answering the many calls and stories you respond to. Enclosed, please find a money order. Thank you again, and many blessings and continued success. In Jesus' name, amen. And it was signed by the donor. But the key phrase in there that I find is, enclosed, please find a money order. Because, you know, most people, if they want to give to a ministry, they just pull out their checkbook or a credit card.
Yeah.
This person had to go to a store or to the post office and pay extra to have a money order created to send us $70. And she, as she writes this, you can see it in her handwriting, she is the one that clearly feels she's getting a blessing out of giving that money to the ministry. And that, I think the fact that she, the words and the effort that she took to make that gift says a lot about her and the ministry.
I am so glad you shared that because, you know, I just see this sacrificial giving, just, you know, not out of surplus, but sacrificial giving, and it just always moves me greatly.
And even just the recognition that, like you said, Wayne, that she took time to do that. But I just am so grateful for those of you who are listening and who give, who say thank you, because it really, it helps us know that what we're doing makes a difference. And we know that it does, but it, we love to hear the stories, and so grateful for that story. Yeah. Thanks, Wayne.
No, thank you. And that, by the way, the words thank you are the most common words you hear around here, because we are thankful and grateful for people like this writer.
Right.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Well, bless you, Wayne, and thank you for being part of what we're doing, and anybody else that wants to be part of what we're doing. God is using us to do some great things, and we love it when other people want to be part of that. So you just call us at 1-800-NEW-LIFE. God bless you, Wayne. Thanks for coming in, and we'll go right back to our phone calls. How about we talk with Diane? Let's talk to Diane here. Diane from Indianapolis, Indiana, listening online. She probably lives pretty close to me. Diane, how you doing, and how can we help today?
I'm good, and thank you for your program. I have a question. I don't know, health-wise, mentally health-wise, spiritually health-wise, is it normal at any point, or is it healthy at any point when an adult woman that's 50 feels that she needs a mother to remother her?
Okay, you're going to have to explain that to me.
All right. I have a daughter-in-law, and our family was going through some problems, and we were discussing this and some issues that had come up within the family that concerned her. And at the point that we did that, one of the things that she turned around and did is that she started crying, and she said the problem was is that she had needed to be mothered. Her mother had died 5 years previously, and I had not, and I had failed her in not doing that.
So that's what you've said, and I'm going to ask, even though that's what you've asked and talked about, I'm going to ask Becky and Jill to address that. First, Wayne, you're still in the studio. You're a professional on the mother-in-law issue. No, I'm just kidding. But you could. You probably do really well.
He panics.
But Jill, Becky, what do you think she ought to be focusing on here?
Go ahead, Jill.
It sounds like, Diane, that your daughter-in-law had expectations for you that you weren't even aware of. That in her grief, she was perhaps looking to you, but didn't speak out loud to you.
Yeah.
And I think, you know, first when we hear this, that somebody had an expectation or somebody has a hurt, we first want to have compassion for their hurt, right? And to acknowledge that perhaps we weren't aware that they had this kind of expectation. Whether the expectation is realistic or not, we're still acknowledging that they had this need and kind of validating that that is their experience.
Yeah.
And then, you know, maybe looking at your relationship and asking her why she didn't feel comfortable in coming to you and asking for what she needed. I mean, here she is. She's 50 years old. And certainly losing her mom sounds like it was a very painful issue. But sometimes people can be in a position of kind of this learned helplessness or sitting back and waiting for others to do for them when they need to take some steps themselves. So in highlighting that you needed her to communicate with you, I think would be important.
I agree. Becky, what are you thinking when you hear
that? Well, I have a little bit of a different approach. I'm wondering, Diane, you asked the question, is it normal or healthy? The short answer is yes, because what is normal? She's going through a grief process. And I'm thinking that part of the request kind of shocked you and made you feel like you were doing something wrong, when in actuality, she may have just said, I don't know how to do this without my mom here. I've heard that before when people have lost their parents, even as adults. It's kind of strange. It's a new adventure, so to speak. It's a new part of life. Somebody, I would have always called my mom when this happened. She's not here, and I needed a mom. And so I don't know if it was at you, Diane, that she was making this request, but I think that that's a good opportunity for you to reconnect and say, how can I help you? I don't know if your mom's still alive, Diane, but if you can connect with her on that loss, that could be really powerful and help your relationship with her.
There's more after this.
To find out more information about New Life or to order any of the resources mentioned on today's program, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Now back to New Life Live.
We are back talking with Diane, and daughter-in-law said, you know, I need a mother, and kind of disappointed that you didn't do that or didn't provide that. Diane, here is what I would do if I were you. You ready?
Yes.
It's harder because I've had more time to think about it at the break than they did.
Yes.
But I would call her and say, honey, or however you call her, meanie, whatever. Just be careful. But do you say, I've been really thinking about you saying that you need to be mothered. And I was thinking about my response. And here's what I wish I would have said. And here's what I'm saying now. It's not too late. We can have that kind of relationship. I realize you're really having a tough time. And I absolutely want to be there for you if you'll let me. I care about you. I love you. And I want to meet your needs. You're not just my daughter-in-law. You're my daughter in heart. And I really do want to help you right now. So let's just start this all over again. Now that's an approach that you could have. That's because many times someone will say something like they need a mother, and if they don't hear something like that, then they criticize. Because what they did was they were actually giving an invitation for you to say, let me do that for you. And when they don't hear that, then they criticize and make it about you, not them.
So I would add something else to that, Steve, and I really like that.
You don't have to, but yeah, go ahead.
But I would like to add that you let her know that, first of all, you know that there is no way that anyone can replace her mom.
Oh, that's really good.
And yep. what their relationship was in all of the history. And that part of it is your hesitancy because you would never want her to think mm-hmm. you were trying to replace her mom. And mm-hmm. I would acknowledge, you know, sometimes I don't lean in or, you know, whatever it is for you, Diane. Sometimes I, you know, people can't tell what's in my heart or I'm not always good at showing compassion. And so you've made me aware that I really need to work on that. But I just want you to know, I'm not going to do it like your mom did. And this isn't about me, you know, replacing her. But it's about me being another woman in your life that loves you and that can be motherly at times to you.
Oh, that's awesome.
I want to ask Diane how comfortable you are with any of what we're saying, because it may be uncomfortable for you. Is it something that you can do, Diane?
I'm so glad that you asked that question, because I can hear what you're saying. And the hesitancy that I have is because it's something that I had wanted for a long, long time. But because of what we have in the family, where we've experienced so much manipulation from her, that I didn't know when she said that. One of the things that I did say at that time, and I didn't know if it was something where she was trying to change the subject and get us off the subject that we were addressing at the time, to where I don't know exactly how to walk in that water.
Didn't feel safe.
She's functioned. Yes. And if it would be a healthy thing to do and an appropriate thing to do, I just didn't know exactly how to migrate through that. I see in my other daughter-in-law this same need that she's expressed, only she's not expressed it to me as the mother, but to my former husband. She's told him that she needs him as a father role. So I didn't know, you know, at this age, when you're dealing with adult women, mm-hmm. how you you know, how is this okay to do? Is this all right to pursue?
Yeah, I think it says a lot of you and your husband, Diane, that they really want you to be influencers in your lives. Mm-hmm. I think, actually, if you would get a copy, we'll send you a copy of How We Love, because I think if you can understand just the different ways that they connect, I think you're going to, you know, I'm going to just jump out there and assume that the one daughter-in-law is probably a vacillator or has that attachment mm-hmm. style, because it's kind of, you know, all or nothing and, you know, a little bit uncertain for you.
Right.
But I'm, you know, I don't know. But I think that might be a good way for you to really get to understand that part of the relationship. Yeah. And then it doesn't require you to be a completely different person. It's just mm-hmm. how to do the best you can with connecting with them. And I think that would be a good help.
Yeah. And also, I'll send you How We Love. I want to send you Take Your Life Back, because there you mm-hmm. can offer this invitation. And then when you find out, oh, that wasn't good, it was a manipulation or whatever, then you can stop doing that.
That's good.
But the mm-hmm. good news is you have people wanting more from you and your husband.
Right.
That's a good thing.
Yeah.
That doesn't mean giving them everything they want is healthy, but coming their way surely would be really healthy. And I'm glad you called, so we'll send you Take Your Life Back and How We Love. Now, today, everybody, this is the last day that you can buy this special, this carpool special that we put together for Lumina. You know, you've got Jen Wilkin, this great Bible teacher, is going to be speaking. Nicole C. Mullen is going to be performing. Most incredible artist ever, and she's going to be teaching. And then we've got Lauren Green McAfee, Bible teacher, working on her PhD in theology, unbelievable author and co-author. And you can come, special price, it's like half price. If you put three women in your car, so four tickets, and you can get this amazing $59 price, but it ends tonight at midnight. So I just can't tell you how excited we are. This will be our first event. It's November 3rd or 4th. Same event, both days. And we want you to come. Bring three women, put them in your car, tell them to have fun, give them the tickets, or they buy them $59 each. And I think it will help you greatly to love the Lord more, which is what we ought to be doing, appreciate the power in God's Word. Mm-hmm. And then this is where our theme is. This is where women rise, and you rise together. So you can call us at 1-800-NEW-LIFE. You can go to the website, newlife.com. There is a Lumina banner right there with some women in a car. That's the carpool special. Ends tonight. Now, also, if you support us and help us do some of the things we get to do, including this radio program, brand new devotional book, 100 Days to Freedom from Shame. If you don't need this, somebody else does. Absolutely know that. And it's our way of saying thank you. We also have the free 10 Tips to Getting Rid of Shame. That's available, too. We love doing our workshops, and almost everybody, you know, it's hard for me not to say go to the workshop every time, but September 9th is Every Man's Battle in Dallas, Texas. Then we're doing on the 9th also our Repurposed Life online. I'm sorry, it's September 24th. The early bird price for that, the Repurposed Conference, is ending September 9th. But that one, it's a recovery conference. The Repurposed Life, help you get back to that calling God has on your life. And then in Dallas also, Intimacy in Marriage, October the 21st, and Restore, November the 11th in D.C. You can also find out at newlife.com about the Rhine River Cruise. All those restrictions are gone.
Thanks for listening.
Come join us.
We hope this program has helped you by giving you insights for handling the challenges you face in your life. We want you to know that we're here for you, but you also need to know that New Life Live is a listener-supported ministry. To make your donation or to get any of the resources mentioned on today's program, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. That's 1-800-639-5433, or write to us at New Life Ministries, P.O. Box 1029, Lake Forest, California, 92609.
Please join us again on Monday for New Life Live.
Today's podcast can be downloaded through iTunes or streamed through your mobile device using the New Life app. Visit newlife.com to download the app today.